favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, minutes are adopted. First of all, you got a group of people over here. They are the ninth grade students, right, from Farmington Middle School. Is that right? Nod your heads if that's right.
No.
Seventh. Oh, this, whoever wrote the note was wrong. Seventh graders, and you are from Farmington. All right, now the heads are nodding. They're participating in the Minnesota Historical Society Capital Historic Sites Voice of the People, Your Role in Government Tour and Education Program. So welcome. Before we go any further, I want to mention this guy sitting next to me here, Will Haler. He's my legislative assistant, so he helps us out around here doing all the work that gets done in committee. But he used to work for the superintendent down in Farmington, so he knows you guys, or at least knows your school. So big-time connection here on the committee. And what we're doing today is, just so you know, we're a finance committee, which means the finance committee works on all the budgets. And in our case, we work on the agriculture and the Veterans Department of Veterans Affairs budget. And today, we're going to start work on the veterans budget. So over the next 2 months, we need to put together budgets that will fund the Department of Veterans Affairs for the next 2 years. So we do a two-year budget, and that's why you see over here a lot of our friends with hats on. These are mostly former military folks that are with a lot of the organizations, VFW, Disabled American Veterans, Legion Club, and all those. You're probably familiar. Some of your moms or dads are probably members of those clubs, and they're here participating and listening in and watching what we're doing. So, again, all these committee hearings are open to people, and anyone that wants to testify is welcome to along the way, too. So, members, I think you got the gist by what I said to the folks in the audience, but we are going to start today on a process of budgeting over the next number of weeks, trying to dip into these budgets. And I know Representative Hamilton and Magnus and I have talked about this. We need to do a little bit more than just the budget pages we were given. I mean, in the past, we've seen change items, which is good, and we want to understand what we're increasing or decreasing money for. But really, and starting probably the next time we meet, and I apologize for not getting this, the chair received a strategic plan from Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And first thing I want to do is compliment them. I think every department should give us a five-year strategic plan like this. I think it's an excellent outline of where they see their department going, what they see happening over the next 5 years, and how they're going to accomplish it. Literally in here, they've got broken down veteran service programs. There's two pages of programming. We're going to look at every one of those is basically what we're going to do. And by next time, I'll get you copies of this. They didn't have the bound copies yet, and I just realized that when I got here this morning that no one had these. And so we will get these copies to all of you. And basically what we want to do is make sure this strategic plan is fitting the budget and that we're all working together to move in that type of direction. So today what we're going to do, you see your schedule, and there's a slight change in it too. We're going to start out with Christine Keel, who will give us the introductory comments and some overview ideas of what they're up to here. And then what we're going to do is get the veteran service organizations up here, the DAV, VFW, Vietnam Vets, American Legion, etc., so they can give us an idea of what they do. We kind of oversee some of those budgets, even though it's not something we appropriate for, but we do have some oversight on some of those budgets also, members, and so we want to hear from them and make sure that we're tracking with them also. So with that, I don't know if this will take a day or 2 days or 2 weeks on veterans, but we're going to take whatever it means, and we want you to ask questions. We want you to start thinking about it. We're going to try, and both with ag and veterans, you see some spreadsheets starting to come out in your packets. We're going to try and ask, there's a new one now, it just showed up, along working with Mr. Reinholtz and working with the department folks, we're going to try and get them to tell us what page they're on when they're talking about stuff. Because what you're going to see here is more detail than you would see in the budget books. I mean, you're going to see, as you can see, there's communications, travel, supply, equipment, etc. So when we have questions on line items, we can literally ask them why the difference in, you know, there might be contracts for telecommunications or something one year that isn't the other, but we want to understand the different categories, and hopefully you can follow along in a little more detail than what's in your budget books. But again, we encourage questions, and we hope we can get answers and develop a budget together over the next 2 months. By the way, Representative Carlson has asked that this division put their budget out first. Seems we get along better than the other divisions for some reason, and the governor usually signs our budget without a problem. And so he's asked, and we've said if we can, we'd like to be done with our work out of this division by Easter break. So that's about 2 weeks earlier than everyone else. So we can get ours moving and be the first one out if that's possible. If not, we've got till I think April 16th officially, but April 8th is Easter break. So we'd like to shoot for that Wednesday of being done. Otherwise, I guess introduce yourself, welcome to the committee, and we will see how it goes today.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Christine Fields, Department of Veterans Affairs, Legislative Director. First, I want to point out the new spreadsheet you got should be 27 pages, and that will have all the budget numbers that we're referring to.
Right,
today.
You've got members. You've got this dark shaded one. You can throw that away.
That
was a. I looked at it the other day. They said, "Well, here's the budget. Nothing to do with you." But AJ walked in, and I looked on the last page and said, "Oh, $1.8 million. That's not a bad budget. We should be able to take care of that real quick." So. That obviously didn't include the things we needed, but the new one that you just handed out, 27 pages, is what we're going to start working off of.
Correct, Mr. Chair. So I will start on that handout that we just talked about. Pages 2 through 4 is the administrative budget for our department, so I will start there. The administrative budget activities have the commissioner's office, the finance management office, human resources, information technology, the public affairs and communications area, legislative affairs, the Veterans Preference Act, and what is known as the RSVP program. The RSVP program does not have a fiscal note tied to it, so we will not actually be talking about that.
Then again, just to the veterans, I believe, is in a time of change as far as their spreadsheets go. I think what we're seeing is the first two pages showing us 2007 and 8, but then you have to actually turn to page 4 to see the 9 and 10, the projected budgets out. So it's actually kind of a two-phase thing. They don't have them all on one page right now.
Just to be sure that's correct, and that's due to the merger with the homes, so we, in the future it would all be on one page. This helps still screen after. So I don't know how you want me to begin, Mr. Chair, talking about the budget numbers, or how would you like me to proceed?
Well, again, Veterans Services Administration, you know, I guess what the things we want to hear about are what do these offices do?
Okay.
What is their role in your strategic plan for this office? How many people are employed there, you know, what do they do? I mean, we can see the dollar figures, but we'd like to start assigning things to them, especially the larger line items. I think we even want to talk about, you don't have to do it right now, but as we move on, we want to talk about, we're seeing space rental, maintenance and utility, and we see those increasing over the years. And I guess we need to understand that. Who's charging you that rent, and why is it increasing? I don't know that we've built you a new building, but, you know, there's obviously reasons for that, and I think those are the kind of things we want to understand as we move ahead, because, again, the rental and some of that does increase. And as you look at the numbers, and members will be looking through them also, we might want some explanations on some of those line items, too. But really, what does this division do, and how does it match your master plan, who works there, et cetera,
okay. Well, Mr. Chair, under the Veterans Services Admin budget, there is a total of 15.25 FTE. They are divided up in the Commissioner's Office, there's 4 FTE, the Finance Office, 1.75 FTE, Human Resources, 1.5 FTE, in Information Technology, 4.5 FTE, Public Affairs and Communications, 1.5 FTE, Legislative Affairs, 1.5 FTE, and the Veterans Preference, 1 FTE. And as you can see on the budget pages for the 10-11, the General Fund, forecast-based budget for the admin services is $3.736 million.
So when you say, let's take you, for example, since you're sitting here, you just said your legislative affairs is 1.5 FTE. Obviously, that's you plus what? There's someone that has part-time that helps you putting together things like this, or what? Who's the other person there besides you?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. My position, I am the one FTE, and I'm split 50-50 between the homes and programs and services, but I also have part-time help with the commissioner's administrative assistant who you may have seen with me in committee C help. That is the 0.5 FTE out of there.
Now, you also mentioned 4.5 FTEs for technology. Is that all the technology people for the entire system then is located there, or are we going to see other technology folks show up through the budget?
Mr. Chair, we will see other technology people show up throughout the budget because they are placed in the home. 3.5 for the home.
3.5 for the homes?
For a total of 8 FTE for IT. But the homes you'll be hearing next week, so we won't
Great.
Touch on that today.
Okay.
The commissioner's office obviously oversees the general operations of the department, and we'll see that we carry out the strategic plan. The commissioner is to himself and two deputy commissioners, and they will make sure, like I said, general oversight, legal guidance of the department. The finance management office, they provide oversight to the whole department. That's including the homes, even though each home has its own business manager, and again, you'll hear about that next week. But that department, which is Ms. Kromshorter sitting next to me, she has the general oversight for the department's entire budget. Human resources, same thing when we merged. We took the person out at the home who has had the home's HR. They have taken over the HR for our department. So that person is housed out at the Minneapolis Veterans Home campus, but we share that function. And then we also had to, with the expansion and growth, we had to hire an affirmative action officer, which is something we did not, as programs and services, we did not have before. And now with the homes, so that is part of that 0.5, because that is split again between programs and services and the veterans' homes. And then information technology, again, we have 4.5 in our central office, and you'll see more when we talk about the homes next week.
So digging into the budget a little further, mm-hmm. when we look back at 2008, we see $985,000 for full-time pay. Starting 09, we see 1.271 and then up to 1.361. That's a substantial increase. What's the increase from? Is that accounting for people we're merging now, and so we'll see decreases on some of the other line items with the homes, or... Where's the additional money coming from for the full time? What's making that up?
Mr. Chair, I'll let Ms. Kromshorter answer that.
Introduce yourself for the tape.
My name is Sherry Kromshorter. I'm the Department Financial Officer for the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Welcome.
The changes in the administrative services appropriation you'll see from year to year will fluctuate slightly. We originally had separated our IT appropriation in fiscal year 8. And isolated our 3.25 FTEs, and then when we merged with the Veterans Home, their IT staff were included in their admin services budget, so then we had to shift those positions back into our admin in fiscal year 09. So you'll look and see when we talk about the IT budget later on down in our presentation, you will see that in fiscal year 08 there is an appropriation separate for IT that, looking at 9, it's included in there. We also did receive a $250,000 appropriation increase for the 8 and 9 triennium for our admin services.
We're going to try and help you guys through. Again, it's not the easiest thing to follow, and we're going to have, again, as we move forward in other days, we want to, I think you're getting a sense of what we're looking for. From you budgeting-wise, we want to make this as easy as possible. We still have members who are kind of searching on where we're at. So if you can kind of explain the pages we're on, and also members, when there's change items, I guess we need staff or someone to refer us to what page in the book. This is going to be we need an extra arm right now, I think, to find the pages. But try and seamlessly guide us the best you can on where we're looking. We had a bipartisan confusion over on this side of the table. So,
Mr. Chair, the IT budget on the spreadsheet that we provided is on page one, the very first item. You'll see $325,000 appropriated in fiscal year 08, and then looking at nine, you will see nothing.
300 in it. Where, I'm
on page one, the very first item. Oh, okay. It's ITS, Information right. Technology Services, fiscal year 08, actual expenditures of $325,000. You'll then see in fiscal year 09 that there is nothing budgeted. That funding transferred back into our admin budget, moving into fiscal 09 to merge those IT staff back into our admin appropriations.
Okay, and then the 10,826 is the 80 total.
Those would be the governor's change items for our IT initiative.
Are you going to go
and
through
that
then separately? Page 10 of your budget book.
Yes. Correct, Mr. Chair. We will be going through that when Mr. World is up here to give the presentation.
All right, we'll hold off on what that number is then. So the kind of refers to the pages and the lines you're talking about when we ask the questions. And again, members, when I asked my question, I was looking at page 4 and page 3 and 4. You saw 2008 actual on full-time pay, 985. And then when you flip to page 4, you're seeing the 9 and 10 budgets of 1.2 and 1.3. That's what we're trying to get a handle on, that increase and what it was used, what it's used for. And you'll see that in all the categories going down. Again, they're not lined up right now, so it's not Reinholtz's fault either. He tried, but we're working on it. All right, proceed.
Okay, Mr. Chair, if there's anything else you want to hear out of the admin budget, otherwise I think we are done with that because other aspects of that will be addressed, like when Mr. World does the IT, and Ms. Wong will be doing the communications and outreach part of it.
Okay, and again, most of the small stuff, we're not going to get into it unless we see some real discrepancies, travel and equipment and other things. We see the numbers bounce around, but clearly you're probably, I assume, equipment, you're replacing computers or printers or other type of items as needed, and you assume have a process you go through within the department on that. Age-wise, contract-wise, is your equipment leased or do you own it?
Mr. Chair, our equipment is leased, I believe.
Mr. Chair, it depends on the equipment you're referring to. Our copiers and items like that, we do a rental. And our computers and servers, we own.
Okay. On the, and we'll get to this more, on your space rental, maintenance, utilities, et cetera, does each division then take a piece of that and you dole it out that way, so they're assigned a certain percent based on their FTEs or some other thing of the space that's used?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right.
And the increase that you see is an increase that is put out by the Department of Admin, Real Estate Management, and we received a memo stating what our increases would be for the upcoming biennium.
So they don't do any more than tell you what the increase is?
Yes.
You don't know why it increased? Okay, well, maybe we'll get some info from admin on that and why the lease goes up over at the Department of Veterans Affairs building. See if we can save you some money. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is actually along those lines. The way I understand it, if we take the 325 from page 1 and add it to page 3, we should end up with the same numbers as we've got on page 4. And when I do that, I come up with still an increase of $300,000 compared to the previous biennium budget, which is on an annual basis an increase well over 10%, I believe, if my math is relatively close anyway, which is significantly more than rate of inflation or any other measure. Can you explain why that is, or is that something that we need to wait for other people to explain?
We did also receive, Mr. Chair and Representative House, we did also receive an ongoing appropriation increase to our admin of $250,000 each year.
Representative House.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And so that is in the next 2 years or in last year's? And if so, is that we're increasing expenses by that much then also, or is that supposed to be reimbursed for some expenses we've already got?
Mr. Chair, Representative Faust, the $250,000 in each year was to add additional staff for our administration, and it also included the cost of an ombudsman for the veterans home.
Representative Faust.
Just to make sure I understand then, so that this is money coming in from the federal government, I assume, from someplace else. Okay, where's that money coming from then? And so the money came in directly for paying for some increased staffing that has some specific goals in mind.
Mr. Chair, Representative Faust, that funding is general fund dollars.
Requested increase from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for an ombudsman and what else?
Mr. Chair, that was for additional staffing for leadership positions.
What were the positions?
One would be mine.
Okay, very good. Now we're getting there.
And Mr. Chair, also the ombudsman, and we have to go back and...
Again, as you can see, we're more interested in the increased budgets. You know, we know the people that are there, but why are we increasing compliments and what do they do with? I think it's important for us to understand that, those pieces. And again, if you don't have it right here today, those are the kind of things we want in the future, too.
And Mr. Chair, we added the legislative director. We also added a communications director. Some of the funding was existing, and then also we had that increase of the $250,000. So I can't isolate specific positions that tied to that.
Again, for folks like you, both of you are working then with the veterans' homes too.
Correct.
So overall, we should have seen a cost savings with combining these two positions. Correct.
Mr. Chair, previously this position didn't exist for the programs and services side, so it did exist for the homes. So that position for the homes, yeah, there was a savings on the homes admin side, but the programs and services side, it would be an increase because my position,
right,
Ms. Comptroller, did not previously exist in how they do now.
Right. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the two testifiers, I was just going back to the IT merger, increase in the technology budget. And you're well aware of the current deficit that we face in the state of Minnesota, and there are some budget areas where, I mean, it's significant, the number of cuts that we're making to budget and the number of people that are going to be affected. And this is the one budget area where there may be one other budget area that we might actually see some increases in the budget, and some of it is needed. But I'm just asking you on a technology end of things, are the upgrades that you're making, I see that you want to merge the systems and that you want a compatible platform, and so you're going to need new software for that. Above and beyond that, are you going above and beyond actual need? Is this something that you need right now and it's the bare basics that we're investing in at this time, or are you actually going above and beyond this and funding some of what's on the wish list? I just want to make sure that whatever investments we're making above and beyond the base budget is truly needed at this time, especially when other people are going to be losing critical services.
Mr. Chair and Representative Welty, that is a true basic need. The department, when developing this change item, worked with the Office of Enterprise Technology to look at where the homes were, and they are so far behind from where our department is. Even though the change item will be coming out of the programs and services budget, the bulk of it will be going to help bring the homes up to an operating standard that they need to be at. So it is a bare-bones suggestion by OEP to get the homes up to a platform that they should be at to operate.
So this is the only place we'll see the IT budget show up. We won't see them out in the homes. There's not a chargeback to the homes or anything like that.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
And okay, couple of questions I have. Agency provided professional and technical services. In 08, we saw $75,000. Then in 09, we see $91,000. The bottom line on page 4, and then 010 we see 0. So what is that, and why is it going to 0 in 010, and what are we doing in 09 and 08? 2SO.
Mr. Chair, the 2SO under our administrative services is the interagency agreement with the Board of Aging, I believe is the name of the correct name of the department, for the ombudsman position that is housed at the Minneapolis Veterans Home. That language stated that the department had to fill that position for the biennium. So we are not funding that position on into 10 and 11.
Okay. But you said, so the ombudsman you added isn't for the Minneapolis home that you talked about previously on here.
Mr. That's Chair, that funding was appropriated to the Department of Veterans Affairs to house an ombudsman at the Minneapolis Veterans Home before the merger.
Okay. Okay. So you basically take that maybe and you've moved it up. I'm trying to figure out where we're paying the ombudsman. It goes to 0, but you're saying it shows up in the 1.3 up above them? That position continues?
Mr. Chair, no.
Okay. I'm just confused because when we asked you what on the full-time people, you said there was an ombudsman that was added for the next biennium.
Mr. Chair, that ombudsman is not included in our FTE count. It is an interagency agreement with another state agency. We did not hire a position into the department. We went into an interagency agreement with the Board of Aging.
So that's not part of your full-time increase then, on the top line?
Mr. Chair, no, it is not part. It is part of our $250,000 appropriation we received. However, it is not included in our full-time salaries under line 180.
All right. Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this ombudsman position only for the Minneapolis home, or is it just housed in the Minneapolis home, and the responsibilities of that person are broader than just that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Doty, no. That position is solely for the Minneapolis campus, and as Ms. Crom sort of said, that was done pre-merger because the Senate committee had felt that they needed some answers from the Minneapolis home, and unfortunately, at the time, they weren't getting it, so they implemented that this ombudsman would report to us, who we then could report to the committee. But since the merger, the ombudsman is still out at the home, but its sole purpose is for the Minneapolis home and does not work with the other homes.
Thank you.
Representative Faust? No? Oh, Doty. No. That's it. All right. All right, that's all the questions we have at this moment.
Okay. Mr. Chair, then we'll move to the grant. There's two grants in the department. Oh, I'm sorry, that's page 25 of the numbered worksheet.
25, okay.
The department has two grants. It's the enhancement grant and the operational improvement grant. Both of them are for county veteran service officers. The difference is the operational improvement grant is awarded to counties once triennially for office equipment, where the enhancement grant is annual, and it's an open competitive process where all 87 counties plus the Minnesota County Association of Veteran Service Officers is eligible to apply. The enhancement grant program does have a set of programmatic goals, and you should have two handouts that outline the differences between the enhancement grants and the operational grants. They're just plain white pages. One's titled the operational improvement grant, and the other is titled enhancement grant.
All right, and let's find them.
Okay.
They're kind of on the bottom of your pile, stapled together. All right, you want to walk us through the handout? Tell us what you got here.
Sure. The first one we'll go through is the enhancement grant. If you can pull that one out. Again, as I said, eligibility is for all 87 county veteran service officers and the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. The lead CVSO, because some counties do employ more than one CVSO, but the lead CVSO in each county must be certified to receive this grant program. And again, the grant under which they apply is an open competitive grant against the other counties. And the programmatic goals they need to reach is outreach to veterans, reintegration, collaboration with social services, educational institutions, or other resources in the community, reduction of homelessness, a digital records management, transportation program, marketing and advertising, and or staff management and training. These programmatic goals
were developed by the department. Let me back up. The top five programmatic goals were set out in session law back in 2006 when this program was created. The department has since added the other programmatic goals on the bottom there, the transportation, marketing, and advertising, and staff management. The base amount for the grant program, you will see there's a budget allocation that has varied over the years. In fiscal year 7, there was $200,000. In fiscal year 8, $950,000. In this fiscal year, we had $1.4 million due to the base, plus last year you granted a $500,000 one-time increase to the program. And then in 10 and 11, we'll go back down to $750,000, and that's because the original $200,000 allocated back in FY07 was only through FY09.
So the numbers you just said don't match our spreadsheet. If you're back down, you have 1,045 or 1,045 in 2010, and you said you're back down to 750,000.
Mr. Chair, that some of the extra funds were from the, we've had some CDSOs that return some money, and in the language we are allowed to carry the money over from year to year. So with that's the base that I gave you. There might be some extra funds because one county returned $63,000 in a grant, another county returned $6,000 in a grant. We just had one come back for $19,000 in a grant. So with the return and unexpended funds, there is that base. But this is the allocation you gave us as a legislature that I pointed out.
And then one of the questions we always have is, how do we administer these grants? And by, I mean, how many people does it take to collect this from the counties and obviously write the checks, make the decision on these grants?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a scoring system? Maybe you can walk us through a little bit.
Sure.
How our counties obtain this money. They obviously fill out a form. They understand that there's grant money available. And then once it reaches your office, what happens? How many people work with this program? How is it funded? Does it come out of the grant money, or is it part of that administrative budget we just saw, et cetera?
Mr. Chair, the grant program, yes, is an application process that the CDSOs fill out. I am the only FTE dedicated to administering this program. However, when the grants come in and the deadline is set, I do ask all the fellow directors as a deciding committee, and we come in. And how we decide is those counties that collaborate get priority, and those counties who collaborate with each other as CDSOs and also collaborate with their other county veterans, other programs within the county, receive priority of funding. That was set out in law. Regional collaboration receives priority. Otherwise, we do have a scoring system in the aspect that we discuss as a deciding committee. We sit down and we talk about what the greatest needs are in the community, like reintegration with all the National Guard folks leaving and coming back. We knew reintegration was the top priority for the governor and you as the legislature since you made this program with reintegration as one of the original programmatic goals. So we look at that when deciding. We also work with the Office of Grants Management over at the Department of Administration to make sure that we are following any goals in program outlines that they set for these grants. So as far as the staff, I'm it, and it's a part of my budget. I'm in the admin budget as a legislative director. We don't have any extra money devoted to this program.
So basically all the money we give to this category ends up out in our counties for the most part.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
That's good. We like that.
I will just make one clarification. Since we are working with the Office of Grants Management, we did have an interagency agreement with them to be a part of our deciding committee this last time. So we did pay for their services to be a part of the deciding
committee. How much did they charge you?
Mr. Chair, it was $10,000 this last time.
And what department are they housed in?
Their Department of Administration. But otherwise, 100% of this funding goes out to the County Veteran Service Officers and their grants.
What was their name again? The Office of what?
Office of Grants Management.
Office of Grants. Interesting.
Mr. Chair, they're relatively new. They were created 2 years ago, if I'm recalling correctly.
How did you ever get by without them prior to 2 years ago?
Mr. Chair, I just looked at what other programs did as far as...
I'm being facetious.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
We can all lighten up, but I mean, in all sincerity, members, I mean, these are the kind of things where agencies are funding other agencies. I mean, it's just amazing. $10,000, you know, that's a quarter-time person. I mean, did they spend 3 months with you on this? And, you know, it interests me when we see these kind of things show up go back and forth between agencies, and we see it all the time, all the time. And someone had their hand up.
Yeah.
Representative Welty.
Mr. Chair, I believe the Office of Grants Management, if that's what it's called, was established because there wasn't oversight over some of the grant money, and they did have some serious issues, so that's why that was created, to have more oversight over the percent of grants throughout the state.
Do you know how much time they spend on your project? Just out of curiosity, I mean, do they come over for a week with you when you're making the final decisions, or are they, what do they do?
Mr. Chair, this last time around is the first time we did use them. She helped, the Office of Grants Management helped us set programmatic measurement goals, because several of the CBSO offices didn't understand what measurable outcomes meant, and in order to get a grant, they have to provide measurable outcomes. And so she helped work out with them, they could call her. So I don't know exactly how many hours she spent with us, but she was a resource for them to call as well, and learning how to set measurable outcomes. And as a part of the deciding committee, that, you know, that was a several hour process, but she spent the entire time with us doing that.
And to me, it's just a fundamental thing. Again, Representative Welty points out maybe it's a good thing to have oversight on that, but then, you know, the decision we make as a legislature is, does everyone split this up and pay for it, or should admin just hire that office and do it, and they're there to oversee other people? I mean, to me, I guess paying them to come oversee me is not a way I would have set it up, you know, but I'm not, I wasn't the one that did that. Representative Magnus is curious about something.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe I'm getting a little farther ahead here, but as I look through the last section here of this enhancement grants, what DRM stand for?
What page are you on,
Representative? Oh, I don't, they're not page. They're not.
On the bottom, nice page numbers.
Mr. Chair and Representative Magnus, if you're looking for the page number, that stands for Digital Records Management.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just going to echo a little bit of what Representative Welty was saying. We had testimony in front of Representative Murphy's committee, and it is just one person that's in the Office of Grants Management that administers that whole thing. So when she was talking about she's the whole...
Right.
The whole thing.
For the whole state.
Yeah.
So again, my question then becomes, and again, it's nothing you have to do, but the staff, who I know is taking all this down diligently, I want to understand, if we're giving 10,000, you know, do they get 10,000 from every department for this? And again, what does that budget look like once it gets over to admin? Is it more than what that one person costs, is what I'm getting at? That's what I'm getting at. Are we transferring money to help fund other admin stuff? And then just 10,000 seems a lot, to me, for one small, frankly, division within state government. And I wonder what the charges are. So what I'd like you to do with Mr. Reinholt, who's down there working hard on this too, is to find out what's the total budget for her and who contributes to it. All right, we got sidetracked a little bit. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. You talked about counties that would collaborate, would be have a higher priority in some of these grant applications.
Mm-hmm.
What about a couple of smaller counties that simply share a CBSO? Would that qualify them for a higher priority?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, that would, because the counties are collaborating on the position.
And I personally haven't heard any complaints from our counties on the way the grants go out, or, I mean, I don't know if any other members have, so it must be run efficiently and fairly is what I can say. And frankly, members of the audience, too, I know would weigh in if they didn't think the monies were going out equitably across the state. So I assume you're doing a good job on that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. The next grant program is the Operational Improvement Grant. Like I said, the eligibility for this is the County Veteran Service Officer needs to be certified.
And where are we looking at that?
Oh, I'm sorry, that's the single-page handout. But on the budget page numbers, that's again on page 25.
Okay.
The qualifying uses for this is solely for the purpose of enhancing the operation of the CDSO office. They're in that packet that's titled Operational Improvement Grant. You'll see on the second page, it has a list of approved items for which they can purchase. We don't allow crossover for this program, So if you have an office equipment supply that can be met in the operational grant, you may not apply for that with the enhancement grant. The only exception we made to that was for the digital records management, because this new program called Virtual Veteran, we're hoping the reports that program can provide, we want to encourage each county to get this program without, you know, selling the program, but the capacity and the capability of this program would just help them tremendously. So this is the first year we made the exception that if they were not eligible for the operational improvement grant this year as a county, they could apply under the enhancement grant for that digital records management program. But otherwise, the listing of what is items are approved or disapproved are on that. And then the third list has the money that's appropriated under that program. Unlike the enhancement grant, the CVSO submits what they feel they need to carry out their grant program, where the operational grant has a set dollar amount based on veteran population. So that's the third page. And then the last page in the packet, titled Operational Improvement Grants, has by year which county and how much they get. So you can look and see what your county receives. I also did that with the operational improvement grants. There is a couple spreadsheets attached that have which counties applied under, what programmatic goal they applied under, how much they requested, and how much they were given. And that I did that for each year in which the grant has been operational, which is the third year it's been operational.
That's good. We appreciate that breakout. That's extremely helpful for us to see where that money's going.
Mr. Chair, I think as you go through, you'll notice, too, that transportation is a huge problem for CVSO officers.
Transportation, when they apply for transportation money, as long as you brought it up, is it to help pay for gas and those types of things, or is it literally to buy the vans, or is it a variety of things? What when we do see transportation show up a lot here.
Mr. Chair, it's a combination of everything you mentioned. Some of them have volunteer drivers, so they will reimburse mileage to the volunteer drivers. Some of them actually have a paid position in their office that drives, but they don't pay for the position, but they do pay for the upkeep of the van to make it safe for transporting. And then other transportation requests have been the actual purchase of the new van.
Any questions? All right.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that is complete for my section.
Okay.
Unless you have any other questions.
That's it for admin at this point. And again, members will... we'll try and get to the pages we're at. So what we want to do now is move to our...
the Veteran Service
Organization. Okay, we're going to move to our service organizations.
Chair, do you want all of them to come up here?
Well, I guess they can do whatever they want.
Okay.
We'll take the lead from them. So I've got, DAV, VFW, Vietnam Vets, and American Legion. I don't know if there's others or not, but however you folks want to proceed.
Mr. Chair, the Veteran Service Organizations budget information is also on page 25 and 26 of the budget spreadsheet that we provide.
Very good. Thank you for that.
Mr. Chairman?
You'll see that under VSO. Mr. Reinhold?
Perhaps it would be useful for the committee members if the department would also mention which page in the budget book the spreadsheet is referring back to. The spreadsheet they prepared does tie back to the budget book, and then members would have a little bit more narrative context. If the department would indicate that as they shift from...
As we move forward, that would be helpful. Or if you want to pipe up any time and tell us where we're at, well, anyone can do that. For example, on the VSOs, is that in our budget book, Mr. Reinhold? They probably don't have the budget book.
Mr. Chairman, the VSOs shows up in the budget book underneath the activity entitled Benefits and Services, I believe, which is on page 18.
Mr. Chair, the Veterans Service Organization's budget funding comes under our Claims and Outreach, which is...
Okay.
Your budget activity should be found on page 26 of your budget page.
All right. Everyone, we're on page 26 of the budget book and 25 and 6 of the spreadsheet.
And Mr. Chair, the narrative begins on page 22.
Okay.
So that would be the narrative that does include that issue.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself and who you represent, and proceed as you see fit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Tim O'Connor, State Adjutant with the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. First, let me thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans Organization major programs that we feel make a very significant impact on the lives of disabled veterans, as well as the larger populations of veterans in Minnesota. You should have a three-page handout that I brought today. The first page has the DAV logo on the front of it. The DAV of Minnesota has over 20,000 members and 34 chapters in Minnesota. Let it be known that today there are over 44,000 disabled veterans throughout our great state. And these heroes are veterans of our wars of World War II to our current war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Minnesota DAV strives to serve the purpose and mission of our organization, and that is to build better lives for our country's disabled veterans, their widows, and their families. We have many programs serving veterans throughout the state of Minnesota, but the two that we deliver that rely on much appreciated support of the state of Minnesota are our VA claims office at the Federal Building at Fort Snelling, and second is the DAV Transportation Network. I want to have you turn to the second page, which shows you some of the statistics of our NSO office. This is for calendar year 2008. There were 1,664 new service-connected claims, resulting in $12.1 million. 799 increased claims, resulting in $10.3 million. 116 death claims, resulting in $1.3 million. 337 education claims, resulting in $1.2 million. Maintained compensation claims, 2,640, resulting in $35.9 million. The total claims, 5,713, resulting in $61.9 million. There are also other activities listed from our NSO office, especially the outreach activities, outreaching into all of the corners of Minnesota so we can go out and educate our veterans and their families in benefits that they are deserving of. The last page is just a brief synopsis on our Minnesota Disabled American Veterans Transportation Network. In the 2008 calendar year, the Minnesota DAV Transportation Network provided over 28,000 individual rides for veterans to and from their VA medical appointments, comprising over 1.6 million miles traveled by volunteer drivers. These volunteer efforts by individual volunteers, DAV chapters, county veteran service officers, and other veteran service organizations resulted in over 78,000 volunteer hours donated in the DAV transportation program. I just want to point your attention to the last bullet on that page. In 2007, the Minneapolis VAMC projected $2.3 million in transportation costs if they were relevant to today's transportation, be it light rail, taxi, bus. The cost of our program to include the two offices, one at the St. Cloud VAMC, one at the Minneapolis VAMC, was about $65,000. So that's just a fraction of the cost it could be if those costs had to get eaten up by actual costs through the state or through counties versus the donation of the vans, the volunteer hours, and the two HSC offices that we have.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor. Question I have to either to you or to our fiscal folks, I'm trying to understand the Veteran Service Organization. Looks like in 08 was $353,000. And in 09 and 10, it's flat at 353. Is that money divided amongst all these groups, or how is that money divided?
Mr. Chair, the Veterans Service Organization appropriation is 353 in each year. And in addition to that, we have a calculation that we use to generate the total dollars, and then depending on their membership, we supplement the difference from the Support Our Troops plate money.
Okay.
So there's an additional, I believe it's around $48,000 on top of the $453,000, for a total of approximately $401,600 per year.
And I guess my question is then to the organization or anyone else that can answer it, is that enough money?
Mr. Chair, DAV's appropriation last fiscal year was $86,100. That does not cover the majority of our costs when it comes to the NSO offices as well as our two HSC offices. It does help with the maintenance as well as the two employees that we have at the offices. But overall, when it comes to the transportation numbers as well as the NSO hours, And the monies that are put out there is just a fraction of the actual cost.
And does DAV then, do you submit a budget request every year like everyone else to, you know, you just talked about two full-time employees plus your transportation. Do you submit that budget to the department or to the governor's office for review every year?
And Mr. Chair, committee members, we have to report to the commissioner's office, and before those monies are approved, they go over our figures as well as our projections for the next year.
Now, if you're not covering the two full-time and the travel, where does the money come from? From chapters, or is there federal appropriations, or where do you fill in the gaps then?
Mr. Chair, the funding then comes from the Minnesota DAV Department Office, and those monies are raised through our chapters and through donations.
Okay. It'd be helpful if you could get us a copy of your original request this year, last August or September, whenever you turned it in.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I can do that.
Thank you. All right, welcome. Introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Maynard Katterlick. I'm president for Vietnam Veterans America. I'm on my seventh term.
Can you spell your last name for us?
K-A-D-E-R-L-I-K.
Okay.
I'm on my seventh year. I guess I'd never learned to say no, so I do it for the veterans. I've been past president from 98 to 02 and stepped back up in 06 to through 10 now. First of all, I want to thank the state of Minnesota and the representatives here and now and in the past for doing what they've done for our organizations. They've done a lot over the years, and we certainly are grateful for that. We have one single service representative in our office, and her name is Julian Bailey, and she's been with us for approximately 13 years now. I've been with the organization on the state level for 20 years, so I've known Julie all the while she's been with us. We have some small sources of revenue. We do get some household good money from our national organization. They collect goods in our area, and they give us a percentage back. It's not a lot, but we do have some income there. Plus, we also put in for a grant on the national level, which is not very large. I believe it's $5,000. So we have some small sources of revenue that we take in that keeps us ahead of financially everything. Julie is an excellent service representative that has helped veterans in many ways to open up and explain their problems resulting from war. I do have a letter, just a short letter from Mary Reed, what one veteran said about Julie. I want to thank all the staff and management at Minnesota State Council for Vietnam Veterans of America Incorporated about my wonderful experience with Julian Bailey at the Whipple Building. Julian is a target that taught me about the various forms I should use and how to complete them. Julian has competently discussed and listened to my specific needs and requirements. She has quickly assisted with moving my request to the VA system to completion. Julian has the skill and experience to remove stress from working with the VA. I recommend Julian Bailey for an award available from VBA and for the National Service Officers. I also recommend Julian Bailey for an increase in compensation for her dedicated, skillful, and experienced assistance to veterans. Julian Bailey is a sympathetic listener who augments the veterans' experience with sympathetic ear. We do get reports like this from a lot of our veterans, and many times I hear it. I work at the Veterans Hospital, and a lot of times I get reports verbally from veterans. In the last year, awards for the veterans for the service rep program was just under $2.5 million in the last year, and Julie is our only service rep. Approximately over 500 rating activities were made last year. Our expenses for our organization are, of course, Julie's wages, telephone, copier, travel for training or for veterans outreach, and postage and any other small expenditures we may have. I assure you, as state president, none of your money that you give us ever comes to me, because if I go to Nashville for a board meeting, which I go twice a year, I make sure Nashville pays, by the way, totally. So any money that's earmarked for the service rep program is, I make sure goes to that place where it should be. Again, I thank you for allowing me the short time to speak. Thank you for all that you do for veterans, and we also take care of all veterans, the modern day warriors, all the way back to World War II and World War I, which we don't have, but I think one left now. But we take care of all veterans. A veteran's a veteran, and we respect all veterans, and we've really taken the modern day warrior underneath our wing on the national level and locally also. And we have, as we speak, 15 chapters in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Catterick. Do you, similar to what I asked the DAV, do you know what the dollar amount you received from the state last year?
I believe I'm correct in saying $40,768.
$784. About $41,000.
Yes, sir.
And can you similarly give me the request you sent to the state for funding last August, September, whenever you did it?
Can I give you what?
You request money every year from the state, your office. Can you send me a copy, get our committee a copy of that request?
Yes, I can get that. Yes.
What I'm getting at is, how much money did they not give you that you requested? That's what I'm getting at in layman's terms, all right?
Well, there is a number of figures they go through as far as membership and so on and so forth.
Okay. All right. Because again, and remember, it's just one of those thought processes we need to go through. You know, they're getting $41,000 for one employee, travel, phone, etc. So is that someplace we could better use some money than someplace else to help support these organizations? And that's, you know, as a legislative finance committee, we should be discussing that openly and understand what your requests and needs are and see where, if any place, we can help out with that too. So that's why we're asking the questions. If there's a way that we can participate a little more, we'd love to do it. So
thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Randy Tesdall. I'm the Department Service Officer for the American Legion. We'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address you today on the Veterans Service Organization's legislative grant pass-through funding. First of all, thank you for the funds. This past year was the first time that I know of that the American Legion was included in that, because in the past we have received our service claims process along with MNDVA through a relationship that we have with them. I'll explain in the following testimony as to how we've utilized those funds in the past year and proceeded to help the veterans of Minnesota through that process. The American Legion Department of Minnesota has a 5-member committee at the state level that's dedicated to issues revolving around veterans affairs and rehabilitation. That committee makes regular visits with the leadership of MNDVA, the 5 administrators of the Veterans Home, and the directors of the federal VA medical facilities in Minneapolis, Fargo, and Sioux Falls. Visits are also made with the leadership of federal VA community-based outpatient clinics and vet centers in St. Paul and Duluth that provide mental health care to our veterans that are combat veterans. These meetings are at the senior management level, and as such, items discussed include budgets, assets, working models, and processes. This committee is made up of past federal VA directors, county veteran service officers, and leaders within the American Legion in the area of veterans affairs. The American Legion also has volunteer groups and committees that are specific to meeting and greeting patients of those facilities and addressing their needs while being treated in the facilities. As the Department Service Officer, I am responsible for the coordination of these meetings throughout the year. I also, as a full-time employee, have 2 employees that I supervise, 1 full-time and 1 half-time. They're both located at VA medical centers, 1 in St. Cloud and 1 in Minneapolis. These 2 individuals serve the veterans in those facilities with emergent needs in the form of small one-time assistances to help with food or transportation while they're staying at those facilities, as well as other issues that they may encounter while they're at those medical facilities relating to appointments and or billing processes of the VA. They also serve as a referral resource to MNDVA American Legion Claims Office through their county veteran service officer back in their home county. For those veterans in those facilities that may not be returning to their home, a referral is made directly to MNDVA outreach offices. The American Legion Department of Minnesota provides national service officer training
at the national level to 4 NNDDA staff and 1 CDSO each year. These national level trainings are conducted in Indianapolis and Washington, D.C. Many of the classes are given by federal VA staff straight from the central office of the VA in Washington. Many opportunities are provided to the attendees of these trainings to speak directly to the decision makers of federal VA as well as DOD while they're receiving training. The American Legion provides outreach such as we presented the 90-day reintegration process at all of those, at all of those events and most of the send-offs for the current troops. We provide family assistance in the form of temporary financial assistance for basic needs of veterans. This is not a membership program, but open to all veterans. Minnesota has specifically within the American Legion a program that is member-based but provides assistance to our families of our members in relation to medical issues that may not be covered by insurance or by the VA. We have a specific certification process for all county veteran service officers that includes testing and follows the recommended 5-year process recommended by the federal VA for service officers. We also are the only service organization that provides assistance in processing discharge upgrades for veterans that feel they've been unjustly given a discharge that may be characterized as other than honorable. In closing, the funds that you've provided for us help us with our 2 full-time and 1 half-time positions and providing training to staff at MNDDA and CDSOs at the national level and also provide outreach and assistance coverage at the major VA facilities. We thank you for that opportunity to be able to reach out further to our veterans in Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Tesdall. We appreciate your testimony and organization. Before I ask you the budget questions, can you just give us, committee, some ideas on your numbers statewide, what's happening to your organization as far as membership? Or, you know, I assume we were at a peak at some point in the past. Have you seen that dip? Or are you holding your own? Are we seeing new younger members as they return joining the Legion or the VFW or DAV or other organizations? Can you just give us kind of an overview of what you see going on? I'm a member of the Sons of the American Legion, so my father was a lifetime member of the Legion, but and unfortunately, I think that's a good program, by the way, to bring a new generation in as your SAL program. But if you could expand a little bit on that.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The American Legion is the largest veteran service organization in the world, the nation, obviously, here in Minnesota. Minnesota's fortunate that we have currently 102,000 approximately members of the American Legion. As such, we're one of the top 5 or top 10 in the United States, also as far as departments. The American Legion Department of Minnesota was at an all-time high during the 90s, around 130-some thousand, as I recall. There has been a drop. We, as you all know, that follow veterans issues, we're losing World War II veterans at a large rate, and we're working hard to fill those gaps in membership. The American Legion is trying to open its doors in different ways to the new era of veterans. We do that through our training events that we have on state level. We've got one coming up this coming weekend in Buffalo where we're outreaching to the current troops. One thing that's important that we really stress is, though, that it's service to our veterans. When we go to a reintegration event, we're not there to ask for membership. Those folks that are coming back going through the 30, 60, 90-day process have given, their families have given. We're not there to ask for something by joining our organization. We're there to provide service. So we provide service, and we believe that as we provide those services, a realization will come about that they understand and will want to join our organization. I think that's very important, and I stress that a lot when we go out and we talk to the troops. We're not there to ask for membership. Membership will come through the working of the program. We're there first and foremost to take care of them and their families, and as they realize that that's what the Legion's really about, it's no longer just a bar or grill, or it's more than just a bar or grill. It's more than just a place to have a great wedding reception. It is a hub in the community, and they have been for many years, but we're much, much more than that. And we're hopefully that our actions will speak louder than reaching our hand out and asking for membership, but to reach out and provide assistance.
Okay. And what was your appropriation?
The appropriation that we received last year was $81,600.
Okay. And similarly, can you provide us with a copy of your request this year, what you requested?
Mr. Chair, I can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Members, we're going to hear from these organizations, and then we're going to get
Don Pfeffer, Pfeiffer up here. He's from Brainerd, so we want to make sure he gets an opportunity to speak today, too.
Representative Junkie, members of the committee, my name is Jim Heffelgrave. I'm the state adjutant quartermaster.
Jim, can you spell your last name for me?
H-E-S-S-E-L-G-L-A-V-E. It's on the last page of the handout we gave you.
And what's the handout look like? Okay. Veterans of Foreign Wars, you have a handout in your packet, members. It's like this.
Well, right. So we represent, between the Veterans of Foreign Wars and our Ladies Auxiliary, we represent over 100,000 members. We have 267 VFW posts in the state of Minnesota, and we operate two offices, full-time offices, one here in St. Paul, down in the Veterans Service Building, which is our headquarters office, and we also operate a VFW claim service office out at the Ripple Building at Fort Snelling. Our biennial budget appropriation is currently $111,200, which passes through our claims office, our VFW claims office at Fort Snelling, and our VFW claims office nor our organization receive any federal funding. With that, I'd like to turn this over to our claims director, Tom Hansen.
Very good. Welcome, Mr. Hansen. Introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Tom Hansen. I am the director of the VFW claims office at Fort Snelling. Maybe some of the committee members are curious why all the service organizations are here and offering testimony, and if the appropriations are different and that kind of thing. Maybe I can shed some light on that. Historically, the claims process was handled by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. They virtually, as a start, when a veteran applies for benefits, they visit our office or another office or a county service office and designate a service organization as their representative in front of the VA, kind of what they call a power of attorney, but really is not. It's just a designation of a service organization as a representative in front of the VA. And essentially, all of those organizations that were named right after World War II went to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. The VFW, at that juncture, took it upon themselves to break off, if you will, from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and provide representation through their own office. As a result of that, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs was, in fact, therefore, having a lot of the claims burden lifted from them by the service organizations breaking away. And that's the initial justification of the appropriation for the service organizations was the claims process. As such, you'll probably note that the VFW has a higher appropriation than the other service organizations, and the rationale for that was simply that we started our own office, funded our own office, and most of the other service organizations are in fact national service offices. The VFW does not have that program. We are in fact a department service office, are funded entirely by our Minnesota VFW. So essentially the appropriation from the legislature is paramount for us to continue our claims operation at Fort Snelling. And the justification is, if in fact the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs were to handle all of those VFW claims, obviously the cost to the state taxpayers would be considerably more than the $111,000 that the state offers to us every year to maintain that claims operation. From my understanding, the $111,000 was put together on a formula by the deputy commissioner and or the commissioner's office several years ago based on the number of claimants that we represent and the membership, kind of a formula put together to justify, if you will, the money that's being sent. We have historically and forever, I guess, dedicated or earmarked that appropriation for our claims operation at Fort Snelling. So it's paramount for us to maintain that level of funding. Obviously, we would appreciate any kind of increase that might be available, but our total budget for the year, each year, is $409,000. So the difference, obviously, is some $280,000 is funded through our dues-paying members, any other revenue that we can generate on a telemarketing program or fundraising efforts of some sort. So it's kind of a collective effort for us to get the funds it takes for us to continue to provide the representation that we do to our veterans. We currently have 6 full-time employees and 1 part-time employee at Fort Snelling, 3 claims representatives, 1 claims consultant, and 2 claims analysts, along with a part-time hospital representative over at the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis. We currently have powers of attorney that number over 100,000. Currently, about 25,000 or so are current powers of attorney. Obviously, the numbers are such that there are a number of veterans that we have offered our services to that are virtually no longer in need of them, but we maintain the representation. We've been averaging between 500 and 550 new powers of attorney or new requests for representation per month for about the last 3-4 years. So the continuing request for representation continues to be an issue for us. We have resulted in benefits for the veterans that we represent in the state of over $2 million a month. We have a figure that we figured for last year, the benefits that we recovered on behalf of Minnesota veterans for the compensation that they receive in excess of $36 million for the veterans that we represent. So that's obviously $36 million of revenue generated on behalf of those veterans for Minnesota veterans. We obviously have a shortfall in our membership, like all the other service organizations, and membership plays a major role in how we're funded. And unfortunately, we continue to see our membership drop like everybody else, and we're doing what we can to try and maintain our membership roles with the returning veterans. But the World War II veterans, when they started dying off here not too long ago, are such that now we've reached a point where the Vietnam veterans have reached that same plateau, and they're going to start going there. So it's tough to maintain. But I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and committee members for the appropriation that you've offered us in the past, and appreciate your consideration to continue that funding, and obviously, if you see fit to increase that appropriately. Thank you.
All right. And similarly, if you give us your request you turned in, we appreciate it this year.
Mr. Chairman, this is on file with Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, but we'd be more than happy to provide that to you.
Good. Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Are we okay? We've got our Brainerd friend now? All right. Last person to testify, members, will be Don Pfeffer, I believe, or Pfeiffer. He's a higher education veterans program rep, and looks like they have a slideshow here. Do we have that handout too, or is that? Okay. Okay. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and representatives. My name is Donald Pfeffer, P-F-E-F-F-E-R. I'm the director of the Higher Education Veterans Program, a program of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I thought I'd start off by reminding you a little bit of the where our program originated. It originated originally with the 2600 Minnesota Army National Guard, the 134th CCT, being deployed and the impact that it was anticipated on the state of Minnesota. Our services have grown beyond that, but we serve all branches of the military and we also serve families. Our mission, as you can see on the overhead there, is to ensure that campuses provide veterans-friendly processes and procedures, some of those established within system policy, but also locally generated procedures. The second thing is to provide space for veterans on campuses and to provide information about educational benefits and services. The fiscal 09 budget was $1,050,000. With that, we have 12 coordinators. We also have buy services, that, and I'll explain these in a little bit more detail as we go along. We have the My Military Education electronic call center that we created, the various training and the reintegration activities. Now, while the legislation talks specifically about serving public higher education institutions, we are also available to serve private colleges and universities, and we do serve them quite a bit. Our 12 coordinators are housed. One is housed at the University of Minnesota, and the other 11 are housed at MinSU campuses. They base the equipment, furniture, some of the equipment, in terms of a desktop computer, phone, landline phone, and support are provided at no cost to the department. That's a tremendous cost savings as a result of that. We do purchase supplies specific to their functions that the that are something that we are creating as a cost and are not commonly used by the college or the campus. The coordinators travel between anywhere from 4 to 15 different campuses. The 15 primarily tend to be in the metro area where there are so many closely located campuses. But many of our outstate people can do anywhere from 4 to 6 or 8. In the calendar year 08, we served the 5,288 individuals through our campuses. That's a 67% increase over 2007. We helped campuses create 52, that's a typo, there was 52 new centers since 2006, since there had been previously before we started 5 campus centers. If we look at between 06 and 08, we see the 22% increase in the number of individuals using VA benefits on their campuses. And we do extensive referrals to other service providers. Just give you a quick little rundown of how extensively some of my coordinators travel. You can see the four at the least amount in that 300 range are going to be primarily metro coordinators. And all the way up to some of our outstate people are traveling 1,500 miles or more per month. I myself travel about 2,500 miles per month. And again, this is a comparison of the who we served, numbers we served in 2007, 3540. And the numbers we served in 2008. In July of December we started, and so July of 06 we started, so July through December of that year we served slightly under 1,700 individuals. This is just a graphic depiction of the number of centers and when they were created, or basically leading to the total of 57. You can see we had a rapid expansion in 2006. Again, a significant additional expansion in 07, and we've tapered off in new centers. However, what we've seen this past year is a significant amount of resources going into expanding current centers, making them larger, providing more space, expanding on the services that are provided there. This is just a report from the VA that shows the number of individuals using federal VA benefits, with the exception of disability benefits, Chapter 31. But you can see there's been a steady uprise, rising in the numbers that are in our campuses. And that's a little anomaly in 2006 where we saw a reduced number. We can attribute directly to the 2,600 Army National Guard soldiers from the 134th who had deployed. The department contracts for my services with Central Lakes College, and the campus out of the contract amount pays for my travel expenses, less the vehicle and fuel, which the department covers, but also the supplies and the materials unique to running a two-person office, computers, copying, etc. I do have an administrative assistant that works with me, and she is also housed at Central Lakes College. The college, however, does provide us free space, like the other campuses. It provides us actually a rather large, very nice office space that they remodeled for us this year. And again, I travel about 30,000 miles. My military education is a first in the nation, a tremendous electronic resource. It was created in cooperation with the department, with MinSQ and Minnesota Online in 2007. And in 2009, the contract amount the department had for the creation and operation of this is $100,000. We have live operators 7 days a week, very unique. We do have people answering phones. A person is there to take that call. We had almost 20,000 statewide contacts, worldwide contacts in 2008, and a total of better than 30,000 since we started in 2007. We currently now, as the latest report shows, are running about 25 contacts per month. We're really proud of the solve rate. We have about a 96% solve rate within 24 hours, the resolution of what the caller was calling about. Now, I think it's significant to note here that in 2010, as a result of the request from the legislature to look at merging with LinkVet, the cost will be reduced for this service to approximately $25,000. And so I think we've met the objective there of cost savings. We work extensively with reintegration. We do the family academies, we do lots of training sessions as well as having public information available. Initial reintegration, I myself or one of my coordinators travel to our soldiers when they're coming home. We go to McCoy. I've been to Indianapolis. We're going to Washington to greet them on the ground when they come home and let them know what Minnesota has for them in the area of educational services. And we also do a lot of the 30-day and the monthly individual reintegration sessions. And the monthly, the MERCs, as they're called here, those are primarily done through the reserve, the Air Force Reserve and the Navy Reserve. So we are reaching out to other branches in Minnesota besides the Army National Guard. And I do a tremendous amount of training along with my coordinators, but we train at colleges, we train at right on the floor of the armory. That's our initiative this last year, was to go to where the soldiers were. That's had a tremendous response. And we, of course, train in the community. And our primary focus is on why we're serving veterans and their families and what the benefits and services are that are available. And I have a whole list of comments there, and I won't go to that right now, but because it's too small to read. But basically, we have hundreds of statements from people who appreciate the services and the support we've had, and with that I would like to thank you folks for the support you provided for us over the years.
Okay, questions, members? Obviously this is a line item that we'll be talking about and considering. I think, I guess the only additional information that would be good to get from you is if you could project out numbers of veterans you see needing these education services over the next 2, 4, 6 years. I mean, we kind of have an idea of the numbers, and that would be helpful for us, too.
Yes, Mr. Chair. We know that the new GI Bill Chapter 33 is going to... The VA estimates at least a 25% increase in individual duty benefits, not counting family members. It's this new benefit will open up some options. But yes, sir, we will gather that information for you.
And from a personal level, I've been to most of your centers because I'm on the bonding committee, and when we stop in on almost every college campus when we tour, I usually look for or ask to see that room. So I've seen the facilities and visited with a lot of college presidents about your program. So we're getting a good feel for what you're doing out there.
Thank you, sir. And thank you to me.
Any questions from members? All right, we appreciate you coming down. Members, tomorrow we're going to try a similar operation here with the Ag Department and see if we can get them started down the right track. I apologize for we're wading through a lot of paper, but I hope between my staff and veteran staff we have a better idea now of what we're looking for, and maybe we can do this more seamlessly as we move over the next few weeks of budgeting. You know, there was a request earlier to do zero-based budgeting. We can't do that. I mean, there's no way we have enough time. If we were a full-time legislature and would have started maybe last summer on this, we maybe could have had a shot at it. But so we rely a lot on the base budgets, but as our oversight, I think that it behooves us to dig in a little bit deeper than the surface that we have in the past, and hopefully working together we can, by the end of this, what we're probably going to do is try and prioritize some of these things. You know, you heard some testimony today from the colleges, you've heard from the service organizations, and we're going to try and figure out a way to prioritize all those things so as we're adjusting budgets, we're hitting our priorities, again, based on next time. You'll hopefully see that five-year plan and other things in front of you to start working with that and discovering where we're going. Tomorrow, again, is agriculture. Next week, even though you see this list, they'll probably be a couple weeks. We're going to try and do one Veterans Day, one Ag Day, so we don't get too bored every week on that. So next week, actually, we're going to have some homes people, and we're going to start discussing the veterans' homes. I don't know if we'll get through everything in one day or not, but we're going to start seeing those folks next week as well. And the week after, we'll be continuing on this list then. So, like I said, we've got about 2 months here to get all this work done. I think we can do it. And it's a little experiment this year, and I think we can streamline it. Any questions, comments? All right. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.